And my wife told me this morning that I acted more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room of rocking chairs. But I thought Steve and old Jay would be passing out popcorn at the door for this event. And I took a couple extra heart pills this morning, so he wouldn't have to use that new defibrillator out back and test it out. But yesterday I went down to the cemetery and cleaned up around my son's grave and stuff and talked to him a little bit about my testimony. And just like it says on his epitaph on the front of his headstone, I will be fine. And I hope I am. For what I'm about to talk about to the people here and the people listening and watching online, I am not knocking the Catholic Church. It just didn't work for me back then. As long as you believe in God and Jesus Christ like I do, I don't think it matters where you go to keep them in your life. Just don't mumble and talk behind my back, talk to my face. I will listen to what you have to say, right or wrong. I will take what you want and leave the rest for my testimony. Over the years, I watched people come up here, give their testimony, burying their soul to people they don't even know. They don't know why they would do something like that, and I thought, I would never do that. And the more I watched, the more it drew me up here. And here I am. Ain't that amazing how God works? This journal is my son's journal that he wrote when he had all of his problems. He is no longer with us. He put a lot of his thoughts in here, life's thoughts, so what better place to put mine? And Pastor Jason and my therapist have been wanting me to tell everybody about my walk with Christ for some time, and Jason's been after my butt, and I told him I wasn't going to do it until I was on my deathbed. And he said he'd take it then. So then I got to talking to my therapist about it, and my therapist says, what's the deal? Why can't you do it? And I told him, I don't want people to know what my life is like. And she says, what should it make any difference? And I thought, I could care less what people think about me. But you thought it would help get rid of some of my demons. I'm really a tortured soul. This is just part of my 70 years trying to find Jesus. Some of this stuff I'm about to tell you, you can't make up. You have to live it. I am Max Stahlbaumer, born in 1955 on Valentine's Day. I am an alcoholic, sober 28 years. On April 1st, 1997, decided I was done making a fool of myself drunk. And I do a hell of a job just being sober. I always prayed to God my son Jason would quit drinking like I did, but it never happened. Dennis, where are you at? Dennis, now I know why I irritated you so much. Well, you irritated me so much when you was drinking. And thank you for making me not want to take another drink. The way you have changed your life and accepted Jesus Christ is amazing. And from bars to Bibles, we'll work on that deal. I don't know if we're going to get to that or not. A lot of my family is here today, I want to say. My beautiful wife, Kathy. My son, Travis. Daughter-in-law, Krista. My grandchildren with them, Olivia, Landon, and Paxton. My daughter, Trish, is at work and will watch later. And my other grandchildren, Colin, Liam, and Elsie. Good friend and classmate, Terry Quakey's here. Drove down from Nebraska. Very dear friends of my son Jason and ours, Jerry Unkin and son Finn. My sister Rosemary is here. She's a Catholic. I ain't knocking Catholics. Brother-in-law Dave Ralston, sister-in-law Lisa Pearson Lonnie. Another friend, Bernie and Lisa Ritterbaum. I love you all. I wouldn't be much of a man without all of you and Jesus. I'm a flawed man and a sinner. I was born to a strong Catholic parents and raised on a dairy farm. My parents came from large families. My dad had 14 siblings and my mom had 12. I know my parents loved me in their own way. There was never any hugging or saying I love you because that was probably the way they were raised. We were a happy family. My two brothers and two sisters and I were treated as good as you could ask for. Looking back now, it seems strange. One time I was at a friend's house and they had some visitors leave and they were hugging and saying they loved each other. That's something I'd never seen before. We went to church every Sunday, then throw holy days in there, and it seemed like every day of the week. Because if you didn't go, I was told I was going to hell. I served Mass. It was Latin, dressed in black robe and white lace top. I didn't know what I was saying. I had it memorized, so I wouldn't miss a line, because seeing other servers miss lines, and the priest would stop Mass in church full of people and make the server repeat until he got it right. That was rough to watch. I was finally turned to English after 5 years. We lived close to church, so my mom volunteered me for any kind of serving. She must have seen problems with me down the road. She figured I needed all the help I could get, but it was a waste of time. It just made me hate church more. I kind of believed in God and Jesus, but the way they kept forcing it on me, it was kind of hard to go all in for me. I started school in the first grade. I was too smart for kindergarten. Really, there wasn't any kindergarten back then. School would have been uneventful except the nuns and old-fashioned black habits. And Jay Price says, here we go again. I bet you wonder when they was going to enter the picture. I'm glad God didn't let the worst ones reproduce, because one was one too many. Some could be nice and others meaner than a caged animal. They just seemed like they didn't want you to smile or have any fun. They just wanted you to take your self-esteem away. Some would whack you with a ruler. I brought one of these. These are the old-fashioned ones. There's no metric on it. And they've been made since 1872, and they've probably been made for the nuns since then. Some would whack you with a ruler or pull your ears. Then if they wanted to reach more without walking so far, they would get out the yardstick from the closet, and they broke a ruler yardstick. There's always more in the closet. It's not that we didn't deserve some of it. Sometimes it just got out of hand. Sister Gervais was a principal, and she was the worst one. She was big. Kenny Kramer, remember, she had a mustache, and I think it was closer to a beard. One time, I was in second or third grade. I had permission to go to the bathroom. I was in there doing my thing, and she came in here and grabbed a belt of my pants and dragged me out and back to my classroom and threw me in the door saying I didn't have permission. I had to put my pecker back in my pants and zip up my pants in front of my classmates. The teacher didn't even stick up for me because everybody was scared of her. We would wait at the trash can in the lunchroom and check your milk cartons and make sure you wouldn't throw any food away. If you tried to hide food in a milk carton, you'd be sent back to your table to eat it or miss recess. Some of us missed a lot of recesses. After recess was over, she would let you dump your tray after a lot of verbal abuse. Once in a while, if you were the only one, she would take you to school and let you look out the windows and watch the other kids play at recess. And yes, we got even once in a while. And I think all of heaven was behind us on this deal. I outlived about everybody, so I can probably talk about one of them. We had servant practice in the evenings. Every so often when we got done early, we waited outside for one of our parents to show up. The nuns were in their house by church. Sometimes they would put their undergarments outside, their long sleeves and bloomers or whatever, outside on a clothesline at night so nobody could see them. A couple of us would sneak over there while somebody else watched, kept guard. We would tie a sleeve and leg ends shut on some of them, put rocks in them so they'd stretch out by morning. You could tell which ones we did it to because they were pissed at school. The next day, if we got caught, that would have broke a few yardsticks for sure. What I didn't understand at that age is they were supposed to teach us about God and Jesus, but they taught us to hate them. Enough about the nuns. I could go on all day about them. I made my first communion confirmation because that is what you've done as a Catholic, and told to go to confession and confess your sins to a priest you don't see. Then he gives you so many Our Father and some Hail Marys for your punishment. Seems like I got my fair share. At that age, all we was taught was prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. You had to memorize. Don't remember seeing a Bible. I got out of high school. I moved away from home. Got my first job and burned at Lorcher's Elevator. I was paid $1.80 an hour, and Coors beer was $1.80 an hour at the same time, and boy, I drank a boatload of that stuff. I drifted away from Jesus and church, so that meant I was going to hell. I didn't know any different at that age, so I thought I would take my chance in hell because I had enough of church being forced on me. Life went on, and I went to a barn party by Byrne and met the love of my life, Kathy Ralston. We dated for a while. Next thing you know, we got a little too cozy and got a jump start on our son, Jason. It's like I tell people, it's like buying a new pair of shoes. You have to try them on to see if they fit, and boy, howdy, we fit pretty good together. Kathy's parents took it pretty good, but my parents didn't think much of it because we were getting married non-Catholic, and I quit going to Catholic church. We went and talked to my big brother and his wife. They were understanding. We set a date in November, figuring my parents wouldn't show up since it was at a Methodist church, but our surprise, they showed up. I think my brother had a lot to do with that. My brother told me later that my parents went to a Catholic priest, and he told them it probably wouldn't last a year. Little did they know it's been going over 50 years and still growing strong. My parents could never get over us not being Catholic, our boys not being baptized in church. My dad died of a heart attack in 1981, 61 years old. I was in Dallas, Texas, driving a truck. That was another crazy part of my life we won't get into. I dealt with heart issues later in life, same symptoms my dad had, but they knew how to treat mine, and the doctors are still treating me for them. I don't know why, but Kathy and I evaluated our lives, and we decided to go back to the Catholic Church. Kathy joined, and we had the boys baptized, had our marriage blessed, and we went until the kids got out of school, and we drifted away for the last time. We felt like we were missing something. Now I'm going to tell you why Jesus Christ was in my life the whole time, and I didn't even know it. There were instances in my life I walked away from stuff that other people probably would have died from doing less. After I got out of high school, we used to race from Club 36 Dance Hall, Marysville, to Seneca Cafe called the Greasy Spoons for breakfast. Couldn't leave until midnight. Always rode with Ed Kay in 1968 Dodge Coronet 383 4-speed, and that was a pretty hot car back then. We usually won at times of speeds 130 miles an hour. 30 miles in less than 18 minutes, and a lot of times three abreast on a highway, and alcohol always involved. And this one here ain't one of my prouder days of my life. I got out of high school, a couple of friends and I bought an old hunting car for $100. We were told there was some free gas for the taking at this old farmstead because other people were getting some, so here we go. Should have knew better. We back up to the barrel I was driving, left car running while others put gas in. Next thing I heard a bunch of commotion. They yelled at me to go, and before I could, the guy stuck a pistol in the window against the side of my head with a hammer pulled and finger on the trigger, his hand shaking. I said, "Lord, I'm sorry for this." He told me to turn off the car, hand him the keys, and get out. Led me to the house with a gun against my back, got to the porch, told me to tell the others to give up. Sheriff came, handcuffed us, hauled us to jail. That was the best thing that happened in my life. We served 2 weeks in jail. Gas was less than 50 cents a gallon. I had $40 in my billfold, and I wrote a check to bail two of us out of jail. They could not understand. It was just a stupid decision. They blamed us for all the gas. When the kids were little, kids were in school. We did mowing and maintenance at the St. Benedict Church. I was going to paint a flagpole. Flagpole had a base. I removed the ball bolt to lay the flagpole down, and it hit the bottom. The metal ball popped off the top and fell about 20 feet. Travis was there. He said the ball bounced off my head. Blood started running. I said, "You might want to go get Mom." He ran 3 blocks home. Kathy said he was breathing so hard he could hardly talk. He said, Dad hurt bad. They got back. I was walking around bleeding all over. Took me to the hospital, x-rayed skull. Nothing cracked. Can you believe that? You always said I was hard-headed. 20-some stitches. I have more, but I will get to the one that turned my life over to Jesus. My son Jason got us to come here to Northridge. We were lost and looking. Jason said, try Northridge and you will like it. So we did, and we are still here. I have learned more about Jesus and the Bible in less than 10 years than the previous 60. I was always taught there was purgatory to fall back on. If you wasn't good enough for heaven, then I find out there is no purgatory. No mention of it in the Bible. So people, don't bank on going to purgatory and get prayed up to heaven, because it's not going to happen. I would have went straight to hell in my early 60s because I didn't accept Jesus Christ in my life. I just took him for granted. For what I am about to talk about now, I am sorry to my family for even considering it. It haunts me to this day. This is what I was going to take to my grave. I was going to take this to my grave so you would never know this part of my life. I was still taking Christ for granted. Jason's life turned into a nightmare. And we got drug into that nightmare. Kathy and I started getting in big arguments about how to deal with Jason, and I was thinking what I was going to do when it got too bad. So on April the 6th, 2017, it all came to a head. Got in a big argument that evening, and Kathy told me to get out and don't come back. I went out to my shop, and I thought about my other 2 kids and their lives. We're going good, and the grandkids would be all right. I had Jason's 12-gauge shotgun. We bought him for Christmas. I put a shell in it and got a chair. I was planning this for a while. I did a little research on the internet to see the best way to do this. I didn't want to leave a mess, so I had this big drop cloth in the bottom of the cabinet. I was going to throw it over the garage door rails so it would take care to splatter for someone to clean up easy. Who the hell does that? Then put chair under it, sit in the chair, and put 12-gauge under the chin and pull the trigger because I didn't want to take a chance with a pistol not getting the job done. But I couldn't find the drop cloth. It was there a couple days ago, and I kept looking in the cabinet wondering where in that. I just about said hell. Where did it go? So I thought I would do it anyway. About that time, Kathy came through the door. It changed my whole thought process. She was a whole different person. She apologized and said we had to get on the same page dealing with Jason. I apologized and talked for a while. And she was, a few seconds later, I'd have been gone. It'd been all over. She didn't change my mindset. I wondered what changed her mind. A few days later, I was looking in that same cabinet for something else, and that drop cloth was laying right where it was before. I thought, what the heck was going on? The only conclusion I can come up with was that Jesus hid it while he helped Kathy work through her problems and come out and stop me. There's no other solution. Ever since that, our lives changed and we learned how to deal with Jason better. We have both grown through Christ ever since that fateful night. I thank Jesus every day for my life because I was so close to ending it. When I hear people that commit suicide, I can understand what they are going through. They are so focused about ending their lives, they block everything out. Before I close, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my son, Jason. Put his picture up there. Because he is instrumental in getting me to come to Northridge and helping me find Jesus, more than I realized. Jason helped countless people while he was in AA program, but couldn't quite figure out how to turn that help to himself. He had 3 degrees and very smart. He was a high-functioning alcoholic until his disease took over and caused him to become terminally ill. When he found out, he just wanted to come home to die. We were glad to do this for him. Travis and Tricia helped get hospice and set it up and going. Hospice had great people. They took care of all of his medical needs. In the end, he thought everybody disliked him, but they lined up at the door to see him, which helped him realize he was wrong. When he was home for the last 2 weeks, it was probably the best 2 weeks we had in years. We forgave each other for the way we treated each other, and he said we did nothing wrong to cause his problem, his drinking problem. God gave us his child to love. God makes no mistakes. We love Jason no matter how miserable his life got. And Travis and Tricia, we love you with all our hearts and don't ever doubt it. That includes every member of our extended family. He just wanted to be loved, and that's what we did. Unlike me at the beginning of this testimony, taking it for granted, I was loved. We would lay down beside him and cry together and pray. During his last days, we talked about heaven and Jesus and what it would be like and who he would see. I assured him that you believed in Jesus Christ and you did everything possible and you would be fine and you would be welcome to God's home. I told him when he got there and seen the big guy to put in a good word for his old man because I might need a little help and see if any of them nuns made it. I gave him their names and said, give me a sign if any of them made it. We had a good laugh. He needed round-the-clock care. He was like taking care of a little baby. He couldn't even hold his head up. He could talk. We took shifts taking care of him. His last words were, I love you. And we said, we love you back. Two. A couple of days later, he stopped breathing at 5:32 a.m. Friday, October the 8th, 2021. Tricia yelled, Jason quit breathing. So Kathy and I came to his side and called Travis to get here. His mom put her head on his chest. And his heart was still beating, but he wasn't breathing. Trish and I held his hands and told him Travis was on his way, and we loved him and heaven was waiting. His heart kept beating. Travis got there 60 minutes later and put his hand on Jason's leg and said, I am here, Jason, and his heart stopped beating. He waited 16 minutes so we could all be together one last time. It seems like it happened yesterday. Jason will be gone 4 years next month. The pain never goes away. You should never lose a child. A lot of you know what it's like to lose a child. Some days is a living hell. He is 46 years old. He has left signs that he is in heaven and happy. Never did get a damn sign if them nuns made it or not. If they are there, when I get up there, it's my turn with the ruler and the yardstick. I thank the good Lord to stand there and let me beat the hell out of him. I finally accepted Jesus Christ in my life. It took over 60 years, and he was there the whole time saving my life till I figured it out. So my advice is to never give up. He is waiting for you. Let him in. Sorry this was a little long-winded. Thank you for your time, and I hope some of you got something out of my journey to find Christ. Please read the Bible, and don't let dust collect on it. Best book you will ever read. Once you start reading it, it will be hard to put down. And whoever once whacked with a ruler, come see me after church. Thank you.